Let's take our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. We'll continue finding God's wisdom in God's book, Proverbs chapter 14. And we've arrived at verse 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, 15, the simple... Now, if you remember the context of these words that we're finding in Proverbs, that's not a compliment. A simple individual is simple in his mind, simple in his wisdom, simple in his heart, has no understanding. He's ignorant. He's very simple about things that he needs to know, and he doesn't know them. So it's talking about an ignorant individual. And the Bible says in verse 15, look at it, the simple believeth every word. Now, you don't want to be that individual. And our society is built on people believing things that are not true. I would say this, look at it again, the simple believeth every word. There is only one place that you can go and believe every word. Every single word in this Bible is right. It's all translated right. It's all spelled right. All the punctuation's right. All the precepts are right. Everything in this Bible, every word of it can be believed and must be believed and should be believed. Jesus said, you know, it was very clear that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So every word should be believed here. But other than that, if you believe every word that anybody tells you, you are a simple person. You're a foolish individual. And, you know, all you have to do, it doesn't really matter even what you want to know. If you look it up on the internet, you'll find somebody will say what you're thinking. It doesn't matter what you think. I mean, if you got 100 different ideas, just pick one, get on the internet, and somebody will back it up and give you corroborating answers for what you believe. The simple believeth every word. You can't believe what you read on the internet. You can't believe what you hear on the news. And all of us would probably be helped if we all got big bumper stickers and put them on our cars and said, I do not believe the liberal news media. I don't believe a word they say because there's a motivation behind that. And you know when they're lying, it's when their lips move. And that's true. The simple believeth every word. And you can't be that naive and you can't be that gullible. Or you're going to get in trouble. I'd say this, you can't believe every word your government tells you. You can't believe every word the health professionals tell you. I'm reading the Bible. The simple believeth every word. You say, well, how do I know what to believe then? Look at the rest of the verse. The simple believeth every word, but the what? The prudent man looketh well to his going. That means this. If you don't have God's wisdom, you don't know what words to believe. If you don't approach things from God's understanding and with God's spirit, if you don't have wisdom on the inside of you, you will not know what words to believe. And somebody will take advantage of you and will direct your way instead of God directing your way. Look at it again. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man, look at it, looketh well to, what does it say? His going. In other words, everybody will stop and ask this question when they hear whatever they hear. Where are the people that are telling me this, trying to take me on the road of my life? Where is this going? A prudent man looketh well to his going. Are they trying to stir me up to get me involved in what they want me to be involved in? Or are what they are saying, they're trying to direct me to get
closer to God and further on a path of righteousness, where is this going of what I am hearing? Do you follow me? And the Bible said, "A prudent man looketh well to his going." That means, you know, you're going to look to the right. When you hear these words, you're going to look to the right, and you're going to look to the left, and you're going to look down, and you're going to look up. You know, a lot of people never look up. When they process the words they hear and the influences of their life, they fail to look up. They just keep looking out. They don't look up. If you're not looking well to your going, if you don't look up to God and say, where are these words going to take me that I'm following? Are they going to take me higher and higher toward the Lord and toward God's will? And you got to look down too. You know what the Bible says? Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. There's a lot of satanic purposes for the words and things that you hear. It's so strange. People would much rather believe anything that they would hear in the media than they would hear from a preacher that preaches the Bible. And they would criticize and be critical and try to take it through the sieve of their own opinion, what a preacher says, but they're wide open to whatever the influence is out there. I'm just saying that that's not prudence. Because again, people that say things have a motivation to take you down a different path of life. You know, it's not coincidental what all the health professionals have told the world, because they want us to go to a certain direction. I'm not saying it's all lies. I'm just saying what they tell us is to move us in a certain direction, right? What people of a political nature or whatever their agenda is, they'll say things to move our lives on a certain pathway that they want us to follow. Now, you know what our agenda should be? You know what my agenda is? Is just for you to love God and serve God and walk with God and follow God and have God's will for your life. That's my agenda. And anybody that does not have that agenda for your life, you better believe anything they say to you with a grain of salt. Because the Bible says the prudent man looketh well to his going. How is this going to affect me? You know what you listen to affects where you go? It affects what you do. It affects the direction of your life. So wisdom says, don't believe every word. Verse 16, well, what should we do? A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. What a contrast. The wise man feareth and departeth. The fool's not afraid. The fool is full of rage. The fool is full of confidence in his own sin. The wise man is afraid, and he's afraid of evil. He's afraid of sin. There ought to be two things in your life that you're scared to death of. According to this verse, you ought to be scared to death of God, and you ought to be scared to death of sin. You ought to have a fear of God and a fear of sin. And you know what? That is something very healthy for you. Drop down to verse 26. Watch this. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, watch how God flips it. In the fear of the Lord is strong what? Now wait a minute. Bible just said there in verse 16, that fool rageth and is confident. The fool is confident in his wickedness. But a man that fears God has strong confidence in God, a strong confidence in his way. And you know what? What's missing from a lot of people's lives is confidence. You know, you don't get confidence because you got a great education. You don't get confidence because you're beautiful or you're successful. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money. Confidence doesn't come from that. There are people that are broken inside and full of fears. Watch it now. Full of fears in life, and they have no confidence in God, because you know where you get away from the fears of life? By being fearful of the Lord. That's almost like a contradiction in terms. If you will fear God, you will have confidence. That's what the Bible says. So, what is one of the ingredients why people can't get through all of their fears. You know, there's a million fears or phobias. There's just a million of them. You know, some people are claustrophobic. That means they're afraid to be in a small area. Well, let me ask you a question. What is different in the small area than in the big area? Your brain. That's right. There's nothing different. I never forget when I was a kid. You know, probably most of us here have had a fear of the dark as a child. Do you know that everything that's there in the dark is there in the light? You say, well, no, it's in the dark. They're crawling around. They're there. You just don't see them crawling. But they're still there. Right? It's like, I remember, boy, this goes way back when I was selling vacuum cleaners before I went to college. Can you see your pastor selling vacuum cleaners? And we'd have all kind of lights and things and shine on people's mattresses to show them stuff they didn't know was there. And when they saw that, it had been there the whole time. You can ask Brother Mike. You know, I could go to your house, and if I had the right tools, I could show you things on your mattress that would freak you out. That's right. But you know why you're not afraid of it? You don't see it. Don't mean it's not there. But you got peace of mind because as long as I don't see it, it's okay. Where is that at? So, listen, what I'm trying to say is a lot of our fears are just based on the fact that we've lost confidence. It doesn't have anything to do with reality. It has to do with how I'm relating to things. And what I'm telling you, strong confidence comes when you fear God. You know why people are full of fear? It's because they don't fear God. Now, if I didn't believe the Bible, I wouldn't say that. But I'm reading it right out of the Bible. He said in 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Now, if you don't have strong confidence, guess what? Can we not see that, though, in people's lives? You know the song, I think maybe it's in the little book. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. But if you don't fear the Lord, if you don't even believe the Lord's there, you're going to have plenty of fear. What are you afraid of? You ought to be afraid of God. And what I'm trying to say is both of those things can't coexist. There's a good modern term. Both of those things can't coexist. You can't have fears in your life and fears of life and have fear of God in your heart at the same time. One will cancel the other out. God, 2 Timothy chapter 1, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's God's word. But he can't give you that if you're not afraid of him. And you say, well, how do I know if I'm afraid of God? Well, you're afraid to sin. That's why he says the fear. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. People aren't afraid of God if they're not afraid to sin. Look at 26 again. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I've tried to tell people this before. If you'd have known me when I was 12 years old, I was the shyest, backward. I mean, literally. When God called me to preach and they put all the preacher boys up there and, you know, there's like five or six of us called to preach at the same time in that revival that happened in our church. And I got up to preach. I still have the tape, the cassette tape. I was, whatever I was, 14 years old, my first message. I sound like a girl. You would swear that if you heard that tape, what girl is that that's talking? Yeah. You know why? No confidence. Where did all the confidence come from? Just fearing God. Fearing evil. I don't know about that. Well, try it. It's hard to be afraid of anybody else when you fear God. Look at verse 26. What a promise, church. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Wow, what a promise. One of the great reasons for you to fear God as a parent is it will provide a safe place for your kids. Now, they may not run to that refuge, but it's there for them. You see that?
He says the fear of the Lord is in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So people that don't have the fear of the Lord, what do their children have? They don't have any place to run or to turn to. The next verse continues about the fear of the Lord. Would you look at it, 27? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And there is just no way to stay away from the dangers of the world unless you have a healthy fear of God. And with that healthy fear will come confidence. Now, let's look at the wrong confidence. Go back to verse 16 where we were. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. I want you to look at all the anger and hatred and wrath that's in this text of these people. The fool rageth and is confident, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He talks about more hatred down in verse number 20. Hatred going on everywhere. And he says that fool, verse 16, rageth. He's confident in what he's doing. He's letting his anger come out and just rage at other people. Well, that's sort of apropos what I saw on the news today. Fools rage. I said fools rage. And they're confident in their raging. Fools rage. You say, no, preacher, this is about rights. When they're running out of the stores with phones and drugs and cars, it ain't about somebody dying. It's about what I can rob out of this store. And the thief, who is the thief? The devil's the thief. There's never a reason to steal. You know why they're stealing? They're raging. Fools rage. They rage against authority. They rage in anger. I heard something yesterday. I was driving. I heard it on the radio, and it just sent chill bumps all up and down. This lady, she was hysterical. And she was profusely crying and screaming out because her sister went down to the protest in Iowa. Her sister was, I don't know, 19 or 20 years old. And she went down to protest and be a part of that group of all of them raging. And one of the protesters shot her right through the back and killed her dead instantly. And her sister was on the radio screaming and saying, "Why are you so mad at the police that you killed my sister? Don't you know you're hurting other people?" But when people are in a rage, they don't care who they hurt. You say, "Preacher, I'd never be involved in anything like that." Well, look at the next verse. It was sad. It was awful sad. Just like I'm beating up those old people at the front of their stores and all that. They didn't hurt nobody. They didn't kill anybody. But when people are in a rage, everybody gets hurt. Oh, it's justified. Not according to the Bible, it's not justified. He that is soon angry, verse 17, watch it, dealeth foolishly. You know, every time you easily get angry, you take part of this fool's rage. How quickly do you get angry? Look at verse 29. He that is slow to wrath, you see that? Is of a great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You know what our problem is? We can't control ourselves. We can't control our spirit. We can't control our attitude. We can't control our fears. We can't control our anger. We can't control our reactions. You ever read through the Gospels and watch how Jesus responded when people went nuts? He was just like, and they didn't know how to respond to him. Pilate saying, "Do you not know I have power to release thee or to condemn thee? I can put you on the cross and kill you." Jesus doesn't say a word to him. Or he looked at him and said, "You couldn't have any power at all unless it was given to thee from above." That wasn't. Why are we so reactionary? Why can't we control our own spirits?
Look at chapter 15 of Proverbs. Read a few more verses about that. You live in a day where people are out of control. And they're out of control in a variety of ways, not just on the streets that we're seeing today. They're out of control in their house. It's just coming out on the street. They're out of control in their brain and their heart. Proverbs chapter 15, he says, verse 18, would you look at it? A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Whatever you're mad at, slow it down. Look at chapter 16. You know, that's good for husbands and wives and children and parents and children and co-workers and American citizens. It's good for all of us. Chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 32. Look at it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Look at it. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Are you strong enough to control your own spirit? Are you strong enough to control your own thoughts and your own anger? You can write James 1:19 on that too. That's a great verse in the New Testament. He talks about swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You ought to live by those three things. It's James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen now, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we live in a day where fools rage. And not just today, they've always done that. They just have different times where it's more convenient to let it rage. Don't be a fool. Don't be confident in your foolishness. Verse 17, go back to our text. Proverbs 14, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. I wrestled with that for a while. I know a lot of people that are wicked that aren't hated. You know what the difference is? Who hates them? In chapter 6, if you remember that little portion of scripture in Proverbs 6, remember verse 16? These six things doth the Lord hate, remember that? Yea, seven are abomination unto him. And you read that, you said, a proud look, a lying tongue. You say, well, those are things, those aren't people. You need to look a little closer. Verse 19 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. You know what one of the things is? Verse 19, a false witness. That's a person that speaketh lies. Watch it. And he, that's also a person, that soweth discord among the brethren. You say, does God hate people? Well, for Jesus' sake, maybe not. But Proverbs 5:5, you know what Proverbs 5:5 says? The Bible talks about God hating all the workers of iniquity. I think he's talking about God here. I don't think he's talking about us. I don't think you ought to hate anybody. But God's got, now I've told people before, you can despise people. You say, what's the difference? Well, I think there's a difference. Amen. If you can't despise a murderer or a rapist, you say, well, I just despise what they do. Well, help yourself. But God doesn't throw the sin in hell. He throws the person in hell. Right? Somewhere they're connected in there. Now, I don't hate people. I don't. But I do despise a lot of things. When he says this man of wicked devices is hated, I think he's talking about God. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, God loved you enough to send his Son to die for you. But if you don't believe on his Son, he'll throw you in hell just as fast, amen, as you can walk out of this building. Because he'll offer you love and he'll offer you hate. And you can come to his Son and find salvation, or you can stay in your sin and your wickedness, and you can experience God's hatred. So I think that's what that means. Go back to our text. So we're looking at all these things about this wrath, this person that's of a hasty spirit. This hatred continues. A man of wicked devices is hated. And then I want you to drop down and look at verse 20. Now this, look at this. The poor is hated. You say, well, preacher, though, that seems like class warfare. That's unjust. No, let's look at it a little closer. You know, the Bible has the answer to everything. Look at the Bible, verse 20. The poor is hated even of his own what? Neighbor. Keep reading. But the rich hath many friends. You know what that verse does not say? It does not say that the rich hate the poor and the poor hate the rich. Read it again. The poor is hated even of his own what? Last time I checked, rich people don't live by poor people. I mean, just get in your car and go to any neighborhood. Your neighbors usually reflect the class of society that you are in. As a matter of fact, if you doubt what I'm saying, take your Bible over to chapter 19 in Proverbs, just a couple over, and I'll show it to you again. What I'm trying to tell you is the hatred is everywhere. And it has nothing to do with a man's social standing. It has nothing to do with a man's racial standing. Hatred is embedded in the heart of human beings that don't know God. Doesn't matter who they are. I'll show it to you again. Proverbs 19, look at it. Proverbs 19 and verse 4. This goes back to that rich that's got a lot of friends. You say, well, that's great. Well, depends on what kind of friends they are. You know, a rich guy's got a lot of friends, but that don't mean they like him. Now, that's true. Rich people do have a lot of friends. But that doesn't mean he can count on them. Proverbs chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Verse 6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. You want to have a lot of friends, just start handing out a bunch of gifts. That's true. If you'll spend a whole lot of money and give a whole lot of things, people will like you. That's why the government... Well, let's just go on. Verse number 7, when I'm getting to this hatred again. Look at verse 7. Look at it. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. The poor guy that's poor. There's a whole lot of different ways to be poor, though. Not just in money. You can be poor in character. You can be poor spiritually. You say, well, I think it's just a sin for people to be poor. Well, then you don't know the Bible, because the Bible says the Lord makes, in Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. God makes people poor. You know why? He can't trust them with nothing else. Well, that went over well, but I mean. And by the way, he makes some people rich just to judge them. You know, God will give you enough rope for you to hang yourself if you don't want him and you don't want to go his way. It has nothing to do with being rich or poor, but this... What I'm saying is, there's not just hatred between rich and poor. There's hatred between poor and poor. There's not just hatred between white and black. There's hatred between black and black and white and white. And Asian and Asian. There's hatred everywhere in the world. People hate their neighbors. People hate people that live in their own house. Hatred, it consumes the heart of mankind. And the only thing that will solve it is God. Proverbs 14. So there's just all this hatred going around. And then verse 21. Let's look at verse 21. We're still on the poor people here, jumping around. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You say, well, what's God's will for my life? For you... not to despise your neighbor. You say, well, you just said you despise people. Yeah, well, they're not my neighbor, so. I despise rapists and murderers and sodomites and child molesters. I despise it. But your neighbor that lives next to you, that gets on your nerves because their dog barks too much, or because they have more than you do, You know what God's trying to teach us? You know, that's somebody that Jesus died for. And our general attitude, watch this now, watch this statement. Our general attitude toward other people affects our own personal happiness. I've watched this in life. People that can't get along with anybody or despise everybody else, they're not happy people on the inside. Look at it. He said right here, verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, what does that say? Happy is he. In other words, the way I interact, the way I think, my attitude toward other people, if I show a mercy, then it'll affect my own personal happiness. All right, verse 18, we're jumping all around here. Proverbs 14, 18, the simple inherit folly. So we went from the simple believing every word to now the simple inheriting folly. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. What is the inheritance of a simple person, an ignorant person? What do they get? You know, talking about children getting inheritance after their children. What does the simple inherit? The Bible says they inherit folly. What they get at the end of the day is just folly, is nothing. It's like chapter 14, verse 1, when it talked about every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. What are you going to get out of destroying your own house? What will you inherit by doing that? You won't have anything. You're inheriting folly. That's like these people that are... These people are tearing down the nation that has given them more than any other nation would have ever given them. You don't tear your own nation down, you'll just get folly in the end. Look, there is nobody of any race lining up to leave this country and go move to another country. You know why? They got it good here. You say, well, no, here's something bad, here's something. Yeah, but over there, it's worse. Worse. All the Asian people aren't trying to go to Asia. They're trying to come here. All the African American people aren't trying to go to Africa. They want to stay here. They don't want to go to Africa. The Filipinos come here to live here. They don't want to go back to the Philippines. The poor people want to get into the country. With all of our injustice, and what happens when we tear down our own society? It's like parents that tear down their own house. They're just going to inherit folly. It's ridiculous. You're tearing down the very fabric of society and what's a benefit and blessing to your own life that you take for granted every day. The simple inherit folly. You know, if a simple person, what's a simple person? A simple person, somebody doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Bible. Those are simple people, no matter how educated they are. If they don't believe in, what are they going to get at the end of the day for not believing in eternal things? They're just going to get hell. They're just going to inherit a ruined life. They're going to inherit bad consciences and substance addiction and every other thing that comes along with not living your life in the will and wisdom of God. The simple inherit folly. They'll inherit bankruptcy and broken homes and the Antichrist system. He says, the fool, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. If we'll walk in the wisdom of God, it'll crown our lives. It'll crown our lives, he says, with knowledge. Not only that, if you look down there, he talks about being crowned again. Where's that? Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. God can crown our lives a crown. That emphasizes power and inheritance and treasure, and all that comes from the wisdom of God. The prudent are crowned with knowledge, he says in the text. In verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In other words, if all we do is talk and we don't live the way God wants us to live, anybody can say they love the Lord, but if their life is not lived in that way, if the labor of their life is not connected with the Lord, then there's not going to be anything at the end of that day. In all labor there is profit. I tell you what would help you, what would help our whole society if people would go back to work? Maybe that's why people are going nuts. They're not busy enough. It's like these kids, you know. These kids, you know, used to, 75 years ago, kids didn't have time to get in trouble because they worked their hides off. I mean, I remember my dad telling me as a kid, he's out there picking cotton and chopping wood, and he begged his parents if he could go to school. How's that? You know what? A lot of hard work could keep you out of a lot of trouble. He said, in all labor there is profit. We got a generation that doesn't labor. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You'll be limited to just pennies in your life if all you do is talk. He says, I need you to work. I need you to have character. And you got to have the wisdom of God to do those things. I got to finish up. Verse 19. Thank you for your attention. Verse 19. The evil bow before the good. I don't see that, do you? The evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. You know what that tells me? That tells me that a wise person won't just see what's going on around them. They'll be looking toward another day. You know, Joseph's brothers, they hated him. They treated him like dirt. But you know, what's the end of the story? They're all bowing down before him. All the Egyptians were bowing. I wish I could have been there and watched Potiphar and his wicked wife bow down to Joseph. You ever thought about that? They all had to come bow down to Joseph. Every one of them. You say, well, it looked bad. It was awful. And Joseph went to... Yeah, but you got to look a little farther. Look at them bowing down at him there. Old Mordecai, he wouldn't bow down to Haman. And at the end of the day, Haman and all his bowed down to Mordecai. You know, at the end of the day, this world despises the Jew and despises Israel. The whole world is going to bow down to Israel, but they don't know that. But it's surely going to happen. And people despise Jesus Christ, make fun of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Every wicked person, every person that's ever lived is going to bow the knee to Jesus. You don't see it now, but you're going to see it. You know what? They're going to bow down to God's saints and God's people. And we don't see all that right now. But wisdom tells me, well, God, you said it, so I know it's going to happen. It just maybe not happen by Friday. May not happen in my timetable. The evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. It sort of reminds me of how I can see in my mind's eye that big crowd with Noah. You know, that didn't believe Noah. I bet all of them were knocking at the gates if they could get to that ark when the rain was coming down and they were all drowning. But the wicked's at the gate of the righteous, but there was no answer in Noah's day. I'm finished. 22, verse 22. I have covered almost all these verses of 29, jumping around like this. We have to do this because the Bible jumps around here, right? Proverbs is everywhere. It's all over the place. 22. Do not they err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. I want you to just think about that as we close, that word devise. You can devise evil or you can devise good. If you devise evil, you err. You're in error. You'll find error. But if you devise good, you're going to find mercy and truth. Now, devising evil and devising good is not the same thing as doing evil and doing good. There's a lot of people that do evil and do or try to do good. Devising evil and devising good is when you plan it. When you think about it. When you invent it. You know, what's going on in our society has been devised. It's not a coincidence. It's not accident. It's been devised. It's been thought through. It's been planned out. You say, okay, what about... I'm not even worried about that. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about what you're planning. I'm worried about what you're devising. I'm worried about what you're thinking about and planning out. You know, everybody, look, every one of us, have imaginations and thoughts in our hearts, and we start trying to work things out and plan things out. And I'm asking a question. Are you letting God direct your thoughts, or are you devising things? Are you devising something evil? Are you devising something in your life? And you're planning it out? Or are you trying to, are you devising how you can do more in the will of God and please God? Are you devising that? Are you thinking that through? Boy, the next year of my life, I'm going to do this for God. Or are you planning out something else?